Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome back. One thing is for sure, people are definitely engaged on both, I was going to say both sides of the aisle on this issue. We're talking a little bit about all of the sudden deaths, especially the young people. And I raised a question. I was chatting with the physician who called in the last hour. And he was saying, well, young people die all the time. And, you know, who am I to question this issue only because I don't know the data. I don't have a scientific or medical background. So I do rely upon physicians and scientists and such because that's just how it is. But everybody is in one way or another affected by this. You yourself are affected in one way or another, whether you've been vaccinated or not vaccinated. We all are living in a community in which it seems to me that a lot of healthy young people who may or may not have underlying conditions are dropping dead suddenly. And yes, people, several times a day I get emails from people who say, are you familiar with the video Died Suddenly? I'm familiar with it. I haven't watched it yet. I intend to watch it. I just haven't watched it yet. So I am familiar with it in that sense. I am aware that there are people who have been talking about this for years now. I am talking about it and not presuming to suggest in any way that suddenly I'm bringing new information to the table. I'm not. I know that. I'm just asking a question is all, and that is, could there be, is there, might there be a correlation between the vaccines for COVID and what seems to be a rash of young people suddenly dying? Athletes. I talked this morning about two. One was a cadet at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, a star football player, peak physical condition, and he dropped dead suddenly. He was walking from his dorm room to the classroom, and he just keeled over dead. And the physician brought up a good point, and I want to reiterate the point he made, and that is that people often, without knowing it, have an underlying medical condition. And I grant that, and I'm aware of that, but I'm glad that he reinforced that reality. But I'd like to offer yet another question, and that is, when you get accepted to a military academy, whether it's Annapolis or West Point or the Air Force Academy, it's my impression that you have to go through a rigorous inquiry into your medical condition. They look for things like this because they're going to spend a lot of money on you. Lots and lots of money is invested in you by the U.S. military if you're going to be a midshipman in Annapolis or if you're going to go to West Point. Before you even darken the door and are allowed in as a cadet, you're going to be rigorously medically checked, etc. I had a son who made it to, I guess it was like the last round before they cut for the final group. He was applying for the military academy, the Naval Academy. And so I had a little bit of a ringside seat to kind of see all the things that he had to go through to get to that point. But I know that after that point, he didn't make it. But after that point, then they really dig in and look at your medical history. So my question is it really likely that this young man, may he rest in peace, who was a star football player at the Air Force Academy, and he was walking from his dorm room to a classroom and he keeled over dead suddenly. You never used to hear about that very much. I don't remember hearing about that very much. Maybe they were just hiding it from us. I don't know, but it seems unlikely to me that he was not carefully medically examined before he entered the academy. And if that's the case, if he was indeed, then it would seem to suggest that he did not have an underlying medical condition. Otherwise, they would have found it. Now, that's not foolproof. Doesn't mean it couldn't have happened. But what is the probability that that would have happened? And this is where we get into the question of, you know, what are the odds, what are the probabilities that you would see these young athletes? And this second person I talked about this morning was a little girl, 5 years of age, in Ohio, Huron, Ohio. A little girl died suddenly. Now, the odd thing about that story was, in any of the media accounts of her tragic death, there's this one consistent thing, and that is that the cause of her death has not been revealed. Well, why not? I mean, why not reveal that for the privacy of the family? Okay, I can understand that, but for a population, for a society that is looking closely at these kinds of things, it seems that it would serve the common good to at least, you don't have to worry about it. Nothing related to a vaccination. I don't even know if she was vaccinated, but people are going to ask the question. If they were to have said, well, tragically, the cause of her death was this, or it was leukemia, or it was an underlying health condition, then at least people can know, and it doesn't feed the conspiracy theories. But the odd feature in so many of these sudden deaths is that they won't tell you why they died. Why not? And furthermore, I'll leave it at this. As I said earlier, I'm all in favor, and I mean this with absolute sincerity. I'm being completely candid with you, as I always am. I'm never anything less than candid with you on this program. I never will be. I tell you how I feel, and you know, maybe we agree, maybe we disagree, but I'm never going to be disingenuous with you. I'll always tell you exactly how I feel. And on this issue, my feeling is I just want to know the truth. I just want to know if there is a correlation with the COVID vaccines or if there's not. For my own peace of mind, I'm a father, I'm a grandfather, I have little kids and young adults, you know, all around me and my family. My wife and I are loving this phase of life where we have all of these descendants now who are surrounding us. And even just for their sake, I want to know because I love them. And I love my neighbor as myself, as Jesus said we should. So I care about you and your kids. And so my motivation for saying I want to know, and I want to know with certitude, is not based upon a conspiracy theory or because I hate Big Pharma or none of those things. None of those things have anything to do with it. So asking the question, why is this happening? Is this an anomaly? Are these sudden deaths something new and different? Or have they always been there and we just never noticed? I'd like to see some studies done on that. I'd like to find out.
I might have the answer for you, Patrick.
Okay, tell me.
These are medical coincidences.
These are what now?
Medical coincidences. I have more from the Kaufman Institute of Coincidence here.
Are you or a loved one suffering from a medical coincidence? You want proper medical care, but you don't want people sniffing around asking a whole bunch of questions about what might be causing your problem. At the Kaufman Institute for Coincidence, we won't look into the cause of your heart or other problem. We'll just fix it. That's right. We promise to only look at your symptoms. We won't get all curious looking for causes because that could get your employer or your doctor into some legal hot water. And nobody wants that. At Kaufman, we understand that coincidence is now the leading cause of death.
Hey, we've got another coincidence over here.
If we want to operate at the speed of science, there's no time for looking for causes. No pesky questions about drugs or vaccines you may have been given. At Kaufman, we specialize in the effects and leave the causes to the conspiracy theorists. And let's be honest, we know the cause anyway. It was a coincidence, right? For each new patient, Kaufman's talented team of doctors strap on their blinders and look directly at the problem area, usually the heart, just like the CDC recommends. Our main campus now treats myocarditis, blood clots, heart arrhythmia, stroke, heart attack, magnetic skin, difficulty breathing, full body blisters and burning, convulsions, kidney failure, memory loss, cancer, sudden death, and much, much more. Give your coincidence the attention it deserves, but not the wrong kind of attention. At Kaufman. Schedule your appointment today at kaufmancoincidence.com and receive a doctor's note with a real sciencey sounding explanation to provide to your anti-vax friends, proving to them it was definitely not the vaccine that caused your coincidence. Kaufman, because coincidences happen pretty much all the time.
Yeah.
Where did you find that?
It's good. One of our wonderful listeners just sent that to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that before, but you know what struck me was that bouncy, positive, happy music.
Yeah, it was perfect.
Coincidence. I don't think it's a coincidence. I really don't. So thanks for playing that, Cyrus. Tongue in cheek, obviously. But my final thought before I go to the phones is simply this. I want to see, personally, because I have a vested interest, I'm an American citizen, I'm a member of the community, I would like to see if those who are claiming that the vaccine has no relationship whatsoever with all of these sudden deaths, or what appear to be a spike of sudden deaths. And yes, I'm familiar, I'm aware that there's a video and all that, but I would like to see that refuted. I just would like to know if that pseudoscience, if that stuff is hokum, if it's all based upon elaborate hoaxy conspiracy theory, false data, then let's just destroy it and do it publicly so we can all get on with our lives and never have to worry about it again. That's all I ask. Can somebody do that, please? And then we'll all feel better. If we know that the vaccine has nothing to do with it, great. That's what I'd like to hear, honestly. That's what I hope happens. But until it happens, I just don't see how people are going to avoid asking questions like, well, why are all these young people dying? Let's go to the phones, 888-914-9149. Tim in Frankfort, Illinois, thank you for calling and welcome.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I just want to address some issues. Like, you got David, who's a doctor, and I really wouldn't call him an expert witness because they're just providing these shots. They don't really know the data.
Well, he's a physician. I mean, he's got years of training, so I don't discount that.
Yeah, but he doesn't get to see the data from around the world. Like, he's telling us to trust him, but he doesn't know the statistics to back up what he's saying.
Well, I can't say that that's true because I don't know. He never told me like to what information is available to him. I'm not trying to derail your train of thought, Tim. I just don't want him to become a punching bag because I think he was very sincere and he was trying to make a good point.
Yes. No, I completely agree. There's a lot of sincere people out there that want to help that are making this vaccine and that. And that's why I called, because my friend's sister works for Moderna, and she tried to encourage me to get the shot because I had all these questions. Can you still hear me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sorry, cut off. And I was talking to my buddy, and I said, you know, I just don't trust it. You know, it's too new, blah, blah, blah. And he says, well, my sister works there. Let me get you in on a text so you can ask her all your questions. So I'm asking her, you know, things like, well, why are magnets sticking to the arm? And she's like, well, I don't know. I never heard of that. It could be the lipids in there, blah, blah, blah. And she kind of assured me that everything was fine and to get it. So my buddy ends up getting both vaccines, and now, 6 months later, he's got a permanent injury. He's got some kind of rash on his back that will never go away, and they said it's attributed to him getting the anthrax vaccine when we were in the military.
Could that there, not be possible?
I just want to point out, it could be possible, for sure, but I just want to point out that that's another government-pushed vaccine. We were forced to get that when we were in the military. That killed 2,000 people. These are the people telling us that this everything is safe and fine. They've made these mistakes before. They tested the nuclear bombs around all of our soldiers who wore radon badges, you know, in trenches and went to see what kind of damage was done to the people at different distances.
Yeah, not to mention Agent Orange in Vietnam and other examples of government crypto testing on human subjects. I'm aware of what you're talking about, Tim. So all of that being the case, summarize it for me.
So now what she's saying, because he came back to her and he said, hey, I have this injury. Now that more time has gone by, she said, I'm so sorry, but we were given this data to go off on at Moderna. She said that originally the data was tested on bats from the Wuhan virus. And she
Well, summarize your point for me, though, Tim. Give it to me in a sentence or two.
Well, basically, she's saying it's not safe and effective like we were originally told.
I see.
To sum it up. And that's
certainly
that
the view of an increasing number of people. It's not the view of probably the majority. And right now, thanks for the call, Tim. I appreciate it. Right now, the struggle seems to be whether or not those who are questioning the not just the efficacy of the vaccine, but also the safety of the vaccine, those who are questioning that, will they be allowed to present their information in a public way where it can be properly evaluated? And if it's bogus, then debunk it. That's what I say. Just destroy it. Get it out of there. If it's not real, if it's all based upon shoddy research or pseudoscience or anything, let's destroy it so that we never have to worry about it again. But in the meantime, if the people who are raising the hue and cry, people like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and others who have been talking about this for a long time, long before I ever started talking about it, if the mainstream media or just in general, if the establishment refuses to acknowledge what they're saying and evaluate it and then refute it, if it's refutable, refute it, then you're simply fueling the fire among people who are wondering, what are they afraid of? Why won't they talk about this? Why do they deplatform people from social media who are posting graphs or charts or data or something? What are they afraid of? That's the natural question people are going to ask is, if this is refutable, if it's pseudoscience, then how come you're not refuting it? Why do you silence these people? So I think that's a reasonable request, and that's what I'm asking for. Let's go now to
Patrick,
Kenny.
Yeah, sorry. Before Kenny, I have an email from Cheryl, and I want to say I love that doctor called in and talked to us, because all we're looking for is information. We're asking questions that it seems like no one else is asking. Mm-hmm. And so we need doctors like that to call in and give us viewpoints that maybe we haven't had before.
Right.
So Cheryl wrote in and she says, Patrick, I agree with you. We want all the information. So while I'm sympathetic to what the doctor said about combating conspiracy theories, it's important that we realize that times have changed and there are concerted efforts to suppress opposing information. And this is extended to the medical field. He is trusting the things are like they were years ago, but that's a mistake because it's a different world now. When voices are suppressed, our freedom is suppressed. This is exactly why we ask these questions, is to be informed on all sides.
Excellent point. It sounds like what I've been saying, and I'm glad we agree on this, Cheryl. There's nothing wrong with asking questions, especially something that is potentially life-threatening. Why wouldn't you want to ask the question? I mean, you may not like the answer, I grant that, but I'd rather know than not know. Sounds like that's what Cheryl's saying.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Cheryl. Appreciate that. Yeah, lots of emails have come in. One that just comes in now, this actually just came in a couple seconds ago. This is from Ingrid, and she's listening in Las Vegas. Hello, Patrick. There isn't a day that goes by that I don't listen to your show. Thank you. Thank you for that. Dr. David, she's referring to the gentleman who called in, says that the young people don't get physicals to know that they have a heart issue. She says that is wrong. College kids have physicals as well as professional football players. If young people die all the time, why get a shot? And then my husband died in the hospital. It gets $39,000 if a patient dies of COVID. There was so much question about his death. I had an autopsy done, and on his death certificate, they said he died of sepsis. Well, that was not true. I have lots of questions, but I get no answers. Attorneys will not take the case because the government says we can't sue due to COVID. The reasons there are theories is because we can't ask questions and we get no explanation for anything. Thank you. Well, I'm with you on that one, Ingrid. I'm so sorry about your loss. My condolences. May your husband rest in peace. But you're enunciating the very point that I think is so important, and that is, why can't we find answers to these questions other than just shut up and sit down? That's not an answer. Other than, oh, that's bogus, that's ridiculous, that's not an answer. Oh, well, that's been refuted many times over. That's not an answer. If it were, then where is the refutation? And as I say, if there is refutation of it, I want to see it because I'd like to be free from any doubts or concerns. 888-914-9149. Thanks for raising that, Cyrus. Appreciate that. Let's go now. Kenny actually dropped. I was going to Kenny next. Hey, Kenny, if you're listening, you were up next. Sorry about that. Let's go to Tom now. Oh, you know what? Tom, forgive me. I jumped the gun. Stand by, Tom in West Sacramento. I'm going to come to you after the break. I almost overshot the runway, but we're not going to do that. I'll be right back. Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com. Our studio line is sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters. Learn how our sponsor can support your family with health insurance during 2023's open enrollment. Visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Get connected to the conversation. Call now, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on now. Relevant Radio.
All right, we're back now. We're going to go. I promised we'd go to Tom in West Sacramento. Thanks for your patience, Tom. Welcome.
Hi, Patrick. This is Tom in West Sacramento. And a lot of what people said, I don't have to repeat. I know you want me to get right to the point. Before I do, real quickly, my son was diagnosed with a chronic disease. And, the pediatrician was so patient and understanding toward my wife and me and my son, and just spent like so much time and did a lot of follow up with us to make sure everything was okay. Just a wonderful doctor, and it really touched my heart. But the concerns I have is when politics get involved in medicine. Like, for example, in California, they're talking about making it against the law to provide, if medical people provide misinformation on COVID and things. And I just think that's unhealthy. And the thing I see, and not to get off on a tangent, things that I feel is like the medical establishment is pushing like transgenderism to children, and also telling people, now not all doctors, but telling children and parents that if they don't, transgender, they're at the risk of suicide. And I think that's very manipulative. And I'm not saying all doctors are promoting that, but there's certainly an agenda, and there's people being canceled for just bringing up a healthy, robust conversation about why it's wrong from a healthcare standpoint to do this. But I don't see it enough, and maybe it's happening and I'm not aware of it. But it what it does for me is when I see what they do in transgenderism is, why should I trust the medical establishment? I think individual doctors, the vast majority of them are really good and compassionate.
But there's a big reason.
Other side to it that is kind of covering up things that are not healthy. We need to talk about these. How fast?
There's a big reason, Tom. Let me jump in. There's a big reason why a lot of those physicians who are aiding and abetting the mutilation of healthy young bodies because of trans surgeries is because there's a huge amount of money to be made in these operations. So the physicians get paid very well. The institutions, the hospitals get paid very well. We played some audio on this program, I don't know, several weeks ago, to that effect of a physician herself talking about just what a great profit center it is to do these different operations. That's a big part of it too. Tom, thank you. Appreciate that. Let's go to Caesar now in Los Angeles. Hello, Caesar.
Hey, Patrick. My question is due to, I have a couple of Protestant, non-practicing Protestant co-workers, and I often evangelize them with information. We had discussed the Protestant Bible having 66 books, the Catholic 73. Mm-hmm. And it all took us back to, the Reform, as well as the canon from Alexandria and Palestine. However, they both have a King James Bible, and I was surprised to see that it has 80 books. I just didn't want to go based off of the info online, which is the, correct me if I'm wrong, the 14 Apocrypha books. I just wanted to know, why does the King James Bible have 80 books?
Well, King James Bibles typically do not have more than the 66 books. Oddly enough, at the time of the Reformation, when the seven books of the Deuterocanonical canon, or the Deuterocanon, were questioned and then rejected by some, nonetheless, the original 1611 edition, the authorized edition of the King James Bible, contained those seven books of the Deuterocanon in an appendix, so they did have it. But it wasn't until the middle of the 19th century, so let's say roughly 1850 or thereabouts, that the British Bible Society at that point expurgated those books from the King James Bible, and then it's been missing those books ever since then. So how and why a King James Bible edition would have 80 books is is beyond me. I have no clue. I've never seen a King James Bible that's got 80 books in it. So I don't know the answer to that question.
The information I checked was that it includes 14 Apocrypha books.
Well, then there's your answer. Because what they've done then is they've taken what they regard to be the biblical canon, which is seven books short. So the true biblical canon is 73 books. Theirs typically would have 66. So if they've added another 14 apocryphal books, as they call them, there's the answer. That's why that King James Bible would have it. But I've never seen that before. But then again, I haven't spent a lot of time scouring, you know, King James Bibles to see. I have one, but I've never really noticed that I've never really noticed editions that have other books added to them. So this is just something I don't really know much about beyond that.
Got it. Just wanted to know whether it was considered a Protestant Bible or a Catholic Bible. That was most of my question there. Since
I see.
I don't want to.
Well, it wouldn't be a Catholic Bible, that's for sure, because the 1611 authorized edition of the King James Bible is a Protestant Bible. It's the Protestant Bible, really. You know, in terms of like for the last roughly 450 years, it's been the ascendant translation in the English-speaking Protestant world. So it's definitely not a Catholic Bible. Well, that's about all I can tell you. I appreciate the call, though, Caesar. Thank you. Let's go to Joseph now in Minneapolis. Hello, Joseph.
Hi, Patrick. Thanks for taking my call. And sure. Thank you so much for giving this topic this much time. I know it's a little out of the ordinary for the program, but we listeners do listen to you every day, and I think this is on the hearts and minds of a lot of people, so thank you for that.
Thank you.
Regarding Robert, who was very disappointed this morning, and the doctor, who sounded very frustrated, I empathize mm-hmm. with both of them, but I do agree. The questions are not being allowed to be, they're not allowed to be asked. There's three things that I know of to be true. One is that there is no, research on long-term side effects. And that's a very important scientific question. And people who want to know that this is a safe and secure vaccine haven't been given that information because it doesn't exist. And so we are very concerned, particularly because of the things that have been going on. Number two, another thing that's true is Moderna, Pfizer, and Johnson & Johnson have secured immunity from lawsuits. And the last caller, one of the last callers, talked about politics getting involved with medicine. I'd like to look at it the other way, too, medicine and getting involved with politics. They are working together on this. And that brings me to the third truth. Dr. Fauci has said no autopsies. Excuse me? Don't expect us to be, trusting on any of this. In fact, the fact that, as you said, we're not allowed to ask the questions. The truth is being covered up, or people who ask for it are being silenced or called conspiracy theorists. There's plenty of reason for us to doubt. So I hope Dr. David will take that into consideration.
You do not know what you are talking about.
What?
Full stop.
It sounds like, I don't know if you can hear me, but.
Yeah, I could hear you. But Dr. Fauci interrupted you. What did
you
say, Dr.
You do not know
Fauci?
What you are talking about.
You don't expect us to be, trusting on any of this. In fact, the fact that, as you said, we're not allowed.
Joseph, I apologize. Your phone is starting to act up a little bit. I hope Dr. Fauci didn't interfere with that. You're making good points, and I do appreciate you saying the things that you did, Joseph. Thank you for that. And I agree with you. I mean, this is a topic that deserves attention, deserves more attention even. So we're trying to find the right balance, and I'm glad you find it interesting. Thank you. I have a note that came in a minute ago. Let's see. I just had it here a second ago. And where is it? So this is from Carlos, listening in Albuquerque, Patrick, I love that you're shedding light on the topic of possibly linked adverse reactions to the COVID shots. I have a prediction to make. If it is proven in the future that these vaccines are linked to the deaths that are occurring, the blame will be put on Trump for implementing Operation Warp Speed. It puzzles me that those who haven't, where did it go, who have such hatred for him are proponents of the vaccine that he's credited for. Well, I don't know. We'll see what happens, Carlos. Not sure where things will go in this area. But for sure, if there is a connection that's demonstrated at some point, and maybe there won't be, I'm sure that there will be a rush to place blame somewhere. This is coming in from Valerie, listening in Denver. Good morning. I've been a pharmacist for 30 years. The general public does not understand how long it takes to develop vaccines that are safe and effective. At minimum, it takes 12 years longer to prove safety in pregnancy and fertility. They previously tested mRNA vaccines for years, and they were never moved. They never moved beyond animal trials because all the animals died. We should be asking questions and demanding answers. Interesting. This note comes in from Anthony, listening on the Relevant Radio app. And he says, hi, Patrick. When the former head of the FDA is now on the board of Pfizer, I am supposed to say nothing to see here? Frontline doctors were censored, lost their jobs, and one was sent to prison. He says, God bless. I am insulted by that doctor's use of conspiracy theory. We have a right to ask. Fair enough. I was not insulted. I thought he was... I appreciated the fact that that doctor from Phoenix called. I'm glad he did because he's raising some interesting points that deserve a place in this conversation. So I don't think there's any need to feel insulted. But my take is, as I've said now several times, I'll just say it again, is that if those claims of a correlation between the vaccine and this rash of sudden deaths, or what appears to be a rash of sudden deaths of young people, if that is merely a conspiracy theory that's not based upon any evidence, then let's destroy that. Let's get all that information out there and just crush it with actual facts so that nobody would need ever worry about that again. Let's rebut it. And until and unless that happens, then it's going to raise the question, well, why aren't you willing to do that? Why are you deplatforming and censoring and silencing people who are raising this issue? If it's just such bad junk science, then let's get rid of it and publicly show that this is, it doesn't hold water. That's all I'm hoping for. And the earlier caller brought up the issue of politics getting involved with science and vice versa. Well, I think your point, I'm not really knowledgeable about Scott Gottlieb. But Scott Gottlieb, apparently the former head of the FDA, is now on the board of Pfizer, according to Tony. That's interesting. I wonder how that happened. Cyrus, this might be more for you. Has it ever occurred to you, this is from Kathy, listening on the Relevant Radio app, has it ever occurred to you that the COVID vaccine commercials are so short and sweet? Yet in comparison, other drug commercials go on and on and on about the side effects. Just a thought. Things that make you go, hmm.
Absolutely not. That would be impossible.
Oh, man. When did he get on the payroll? Let's go to young Olivia in Burbank, Illinois. Olivia, they tell me you're 9 years old. Is that right?
Yes.
Well, welcome. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, too.
So what's your question for me today?
You know how us on Earth pray for those souls in purgatory to go to heaven?
Yes.
How, at the end of the world, when Earth's not here anymore, how do the souls in purgatory go to heaven when there's no one on, like, no Earth for people to pray for them?
That is such a good question. All right. Well, the answer to that is that when that time comes, when the earth that we know now passes away, Jesus mm-hmm. will have come back and he will have taken all those people who are alive when that happens, who are going to go to heaven, he'll take them to heaven. And all those people who are not going to go to heaven, who are alive at that time, they're going to go to hell. And there will be no more purgatory because it'll be the end of time. And so everybody will go to his final destination. There will only be two places people can go, and that will be heaven or hell. And the people in purgatory, whom we pray for, are waiting to go to heaven. They're on their way to heaven. They're just getting cleaned up before they see God face to face. So when this happens, and there is no more earth the way we know it now, that means that purgatory will be finished as well. And all those people who are there will go to heaven. Isn't that a beautiful thing?
Yes.
So the time will come when there will be no more purgatory and no more need to pray for those people, because everything will be all wrapped up and those who are going to heaven will be happy with the Lord in heaven. I'm sure you'll be there. Does that help?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Please tell your mom I said thank you for letting you call my show. I appreciate that. Cyrus, what do you say? Let's take a break and we'll come right back to it right after this. This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
Get connected to the conversation. Call now, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on now. Relevant Radio.
It's so great spending time with you each day. Thank you for letting me do that. Thank you for listening to the program. Please tell your friends. And go over to relevantradio.com and get a bumper sticker or two so you can tell everybody when you're out in traffic. Let's go to Vivian now in California. Hi, Vivian.
Hi, Patrick. I just had a question about, or just your advice about relationships and dating. So I've talking to someone who's actually out of state and getting to know him, and we have a lot in common, which is great, and a lot of things that we talk about and share. But when it comes down to the faith, he's also Catholic. It seems that I practice more than he does. He says he does go to Mass, and you know, he prays often. I don't know about every, I don't think every day, or at least that's what he says. But what I wanted to ask you is, how do, like, what advice do you have for someone that is trying to figure out if this person that they're going to be maybe dating is someone that has the potential to grow and is willing to move forward and, like,
have you met him yet in person?
We met once, yeah. We met once, and we met one time.
Did you meet up at a convenient location midway between the two of you, or did you go out to where he was, or did he come out to where you are?
He came out to where I was because he was visiting. He has family out here where I am, and around Christmas. So
okay. Okay, so you were able to see him in person and get to know him at least at that level. Well, if you're asking for my advice, and I'll give you the same advice I would give one of my daughters, and that would be get a book by Steve Wood called The ABCs of Finding a Good Husband. The ABCs of Finding a Good Husband. And in this book, he will give you a really helpful kind, it's not really in the form of a checklist, but it results in basically a checklist of things to look for in any young man that you're considering having a relationship with. And my advice would be take some time, read that book, think about it, and then begin evaluating what you know about this gentleman on the basis of the advice that Steve Wood gives. And I have a feeling that you will begin to see clearly, oh, he does fall into all these categories, more or less. Or, oh, he really doesn't fall into all these categories, more or less. Now, what you said about him not really practicing the faith, to me, as a father, if you were my daughter, I would see that as a red flag. Because if he's not practicing the faith, for whatever reason, he's not serious about Jesus. He's not serious about his love for Jesus, if he does love Jesus. And if he's not serious about that, he He's not the kind of guy, even if he might be great in many other ways, and he probably is great in some ways, but if he's lazy and indolent when it comes to his relationship with God, which of course is the most important relationship of all, then that's not going to recommend him highly in my eyes as a father, because I want my daughter to marry a man who's going to see the faith and the importance of God at the center of your life just as much as she does. And if he's supposed to be the spiritual leader of the home and the head of the family, and he's lazy in this department, that doesn't bode well in my eyes as a father. So I'm not your father, but if I were, that would be the advice I'd give you. And I think the book by Steve Wood will really help clarify your thoughts on this so that you can see more clearly what's going on.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. I'm not trying to dissuade you. I'm just saying that issue, if he's just not, you know, he's not very swift in the faith department, to me, that's a red flag.
Yeah.
But I recognize that if you're attracted to each other and if you maybe have been waiting a long time to find somebody who might be the right person, I could understand emotionally how you would hesitate to, and I'm not telling you that I would recommend you break off this friendship or anything like that. I'm not suggesting that, but I could imagine if there's some concern on your part, well, I've waited a long time or it's difficult to find a reasonably good guy, how you might hesitate, and I can understand that. But this is where I think Steve Wood's book will be helpful to you.
Yeah. It's also hard when they're not, when the other person is not in the same city or like living in the same, physically same distance. So that's another factor that's making it more difficult to figure out, you know, if we're meant for each other or right for each other.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you again. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Are you by chance, I'm not asking you to tell me where exactly you live, but are you by chance in Northern California?
No, I'm in Southern California.
Southern California. Okay. The reason I ask is because I'm aware of, for example, in the Sacramento area, I'm aware of really good Catholic young adult groups. One that I'm aware of is called To the Heights. And they, a bunch of young adults, many of them are professionals and such, and they are a what's the word I'm looking for? A vehicle, a way in which young men and women can see each other in social settings, get to know each other. And I know of at least one or two very happy marriages that have come from young men and women who have been part of that group. So my advice also would be look for a group like that in your area. Maybe check in with your parish or the diocese in which you live and find out if there are those kinds of groups so that you can be physically near potential husbands so that you can see them in person and go on hikes and do all the fun things that these groups tend to do. Then you are broadening your set of options and you don't have to think solely in terms of this one guy that you only communicate with electronically. I mean, you owe it to yourself to find out if there are some eligible men in your area that you could see face to face, I think.
Yeah.
All right, Vivian. Well, chin up and move forward in hope and faith and get that book by Steve Wood. It's called The ABCs of Finding a Good Husband. Let's go now to Dusty in Bountiful, Utah. Hello, Dusty.
Hello, Patrick. I'm an agnostic, an agnostic ex-Mormon, and my Catholic wife tells me my extended family has been bearing their testimony a lot and often at random and trying to get her to read the Book of Mormon. What could you suggest she say or do in response to that?
Interesting question, Dusty. So many questions come up in my mind as you say that. Well, one thing I can suggest to you that is quick and free is a series of articles that I've written for Catholics to know how to converse with Mormons. And those articles are free. To access them, all you have to do is go to the show page, relevantradio.com/Patrick. And when you're there, click on the button that says links and then click on articles. And there are three or four articles that have, and it'll have in parentheses, Mormonism next to it. So you know among the three or the two or three dozen articles that are there, you'll know which ones talk about the Mormon issue. I would have her read those. Okay. And that will give her something to go on. There's also, there are resources available in the form of talks on Mormonism. There's a gentleman who just, well, in the last few years, he's a convert to the Catholic Church from Mormonism, and he has a new book out. In fact, if you give me a minute, I will find you the name of this book. I'm actually in the process of reading it right now. It's published by Ignatius Press. Okay. And I just want to give you the copy, or the title, rather. Something like From the Susquehanna to the Tiber. Oh, yeah, okay, that's what it's called. From the Susquehanna River to the Tiber. And the book is written by, where is his name? Jeremy Christensen. Christensen. And it's a memoir of his conversion from Mormonism to the Catholic Church. So that would be a good place to start, because then she can kind of get both sides of the story, and she can see why this Mormon, he's a returned missionary, grew up in the church, I think multi-generational member of the Mormon church, and he wound up becoming Catholic. I think that could be very helpful for her as she's evaluating this, okay? So From the Susquehanna to the Tiber. Now, I won't have time to do this at the moment, only because we're getting close to the end of the show. But I'm intrigued to know more about your situation. And if you're an agnostic, I'd like to see what I can do with you and how I might be able to help you to get on the journey yourself to become Catholic.
Oh, yes. Well, thank you. Actually, a couple weeks ago, I called you, and I've attended a couple classes, or actually only one of the RCIA, and I'm just trying to research Catholicism a lot, and I don't know what else would you suggest, actually.
Those are two great first steps right there, for sure. So maybe you can, first of all, keep listening to the program, and also I would say, if you want to go on YouTube, I would recommend the Thomistic Institute channel on YouTube. They have a series of really helpful videos called Aquinas 101. I'm sure you've heard of St. Thomas Aquinas, right?
Yes.
So what they do in these videos is they take discrete topics like, how can I know that God exists? What is the evidence for God's existence? What about Jesus? Was he really a real person? How do I know these? And many, many other things. They're theological in nature, but they're bite-sized. Each video is about 7-8 minutes long on average. So you can, as you drive to work or as you're shaving in the morning or what have you, you can listen to these videos, and I think they will give you more and more info that will help you as you're evaluating what you're hearing and seeing in the Catholic Church. And that's free, and it's really easy to do.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
You're most welcome. And I really hope that you'll call me back, because I'd love to kind of see how things progress. And I'm certainly here to help however I can, Dusty. So please call back. Let's go now to Irene, waiting patiently in Rancho Cucamonga, California. Hi, Irene.
Hi, Patrick. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. Well, I'll make it real fast because I know you're getting to the end of the show. But Christmas Eve was really something else for me. I love Christmas, and I love Christmas Eve, and we're going to sit down and have a meal, you know, Christmas Eve meal. But I live in a household of Mormons, and so your last caller was really interesting. My son married a Mormon lady, and I do like her. She's a very nice girl. But, you know, it calls into my family, you know, I'm all Catholic. I was baptized Catholic, cradle Catholic. But the point is, when I was going to sit down, My daughter-in-law's mother announced that I was not a Christian. And I'm going, oh, not now, please. Okay, I could get into all kinds of different things, but all I told her was, you know, I'm getting ready to go to midnight mass here, and you're all invited if you'd like to go with me. But
that's nice of you.
I told her, if the church isn't that far from me. But anyway, getting back to the subject, she's announced to everybody that I was not a Christian. And she's known me for years. And I know she knows I'm a Catholic, a cradle Catholic. And I told her, what? You know,
what can I do to help out in this situation? I realize time is tight, Irene, but perhaps you have a question for me.
Yes. What should I have told her besides what I told her? I told her 2,000 years of our church, and Jesus Christ founded our church. And that's all I said. And I said, I have to hurry and get ready for church. Mm-hmm. So, but what would I have told her more than what I told her?
I think that what you did was probably about the best anybody could do under the circumstances, because you were busy and you were on your way out the door. If you had more time to talk to her, you could say, you know, that's a very interesting perspective, and I'd love to talk to you more about that. And then start talking to her about, well, there's the music. How about this, Irene, just to prime the pump a little bit, you and I can talk again. In the meantime, though, read those articles that I mentioned a minute ago on Mormonism. Go to relevantradio.com/Patrick. Click on links, click on articles. You'll find them there. Read them and give me a call back. Until next time, I'll pray for you. Please pray for me.